pray. If you agree with that, would you shout amen?
Amen.
I'll start reading at verse 24. Rise ye up and take your journey and pass over the river Arnon. Behold, I have given to thy hand Zion, the Amorite king of Heshbon, and his land. Now begin to possess it and contend with him in battle. This day will I begin to put the dread of thee and the fear of thee upon the nations that are under the whole of heaven, who shall hear report of thee and shall tremble and be in anguish because of thee. Now we've come some distance in this. We're talking about the blessing. And when you write it, maybe it might help you to really get it into your system right if you capitalize both thee and blessing. Capitalize the T and then thee, and then the B is in blessing. B in blessing. Now that blessing comes from the word barakah. The accent is on the last syllable. And then it comes from the root word barak, which means to bless, or it means to be endued with power for success. It is an empowerment. It is an empowerment. Now, this blessing that is so powerful, it is powerful enough to turn anything into the Garden of Eden. Anything. Doesn't make any difference. It can wipe out poverty like no other business. And what we want to do is we want to first develop faith in the blessing, because nothing in terms of God's inheritance works without faith. So we got to have faith in it. How does faith come? By hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So as you hear the word of God concerning the blessing, faith is coming, so that now you'll learn how to release this blessing so it can work for you, and the blessing knows what to do. Glory to God. So this empowerment, or is an enablement. Let's go to Genesis chapter 12, please. Genesis chapter 12. I got quite a few things here that I can look at, but don't let that bother you. You just listen to the word of God, praise God. All right. So Deuteronomy chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. All right. Genesis chapter 12. Now what I said is this is going, moving us to the top. In verse 1. Now the Lord has said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, into a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, barak thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, barakah. And I will bless them that bless you, I will curse them that curse you, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now that is what he is after. And if you look at Galatians, in Galatians chapter 3, you'll see in Galatians chapter 3, he says in verse 16, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He said, not to seeds as of many, but as of one, unto thy seed, which is Christ. So when he's talking to Abraham, he's talking through centuries to Christ. Got it? And the Bible says in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 29, and if you belong to Christ, then are you Abraham's seed? And what? Heirs according to the promise. Because at this time, this promise or the blessing was only being passed down through the generation of the Jews. Got it? But it wasn't ever intended to be that way, because Adam had the blessing first. And Adam was supposed to be the beginning of the blessing on all creation. See? Because sin was never supposed to be. The enemy was never supposed. But Adam himself lost the blessing. Now, what did he lose the blessing? Because he lost his life. Adam was the first man that went was born from life to death. So he wasn't Adam that you know and love. This was another Adam, because he lost his life. Now, the interesting thing about this is that the once Adam sinned, he now really lost everything. I mean, Adam wasn't designed to earn a living. He was designed to create one. Now just let it sit there, praise God. He's not designed to earn a living. Now, earn a living says, I got to go out here and I've got to dig in this soil here and make this thing produce so what? Adam wasn't designed for that. Plus the fact the soil was going to kick back at him. Because God said the ground now is going to be cursed. So now that's what's happening. But once the blessing came back, are y'all with me? He told Isaac, don't go to Egypt, but stay in this land and sow, and the blessing will kick in and create a living. Are y'all following what I'm saying? See, you're not supposed to be out there earning a living. One of the biggest reasons why you're working is to be a blessing. You're not going to that company so they can meet your needs. Come on now, get it. Don't get it right. It's all twisted up. Go to that company to meet their needs. Because my God shall supply all your need. Are y'all catching this here? So when Adam sinned, all the animals that he named turned on him. Now he's got to watch himself. Now that wasn't the way it was before, folks. Nothing like that. Why? The curse was in the earth. Now what God was doing here is he now is getting this curse. He now has got to get the mankind from under this curse, because this curse... Oh, Lord, have mercy. Can I take some time here? Let's go over to Deuteronomy chapter 28, please. Deuteronomy chapter 28. All right, Deuteronomy chapter 28. We have read the blessing before. It says in verse 1, and it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all these commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set you high, on high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come on you and what? Overtake you. Then he goes to name them. Now if you go back here to Deuteronomy 28 verse 15, but it shall come to pass if you will not hearken to the voice of the Lord your God, to observe, to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these what? Curses shall come on thee and overtake thee. Cursed shall you be in the city, cursed shall you be in the field, so forth and so on. So when we're talking about keeping his commandments, we're talking about God trying to make it so that you live like Abraham. Because these commandments were not new. God does not change. Are y'all with me here? Let's look at the commandments, the Ten Commandments, we call those. And because when we talk about commandments now, we talk about more than just Ten Commandments. We're talking about basically whatever God tells you to do. All right, let's look at Exodus chapter 20. Over in Exodus chapter 20, He says, verse 3, let's just read this. Now, these people are coming out of bondage now, so what does he got to do? He's got to reteach them how to live in the blessing. Because right now, they've lost track of that altogether because they had mixed with the Egyptians. And now you know the Egyptians' thinking was in them, because when he got up there and Moses went up on the mountain to get the Ten Commandments, he got back and they had made a what? They had made a calf and worshiping it. Where did they get the calf from? They got it from Egypt. How did they bring it out there? In their hearts and in their minds. So it was there, and all they had to do in Egypt, in the wilderness, was fashion it. So they fashioned a calf and started working. So that's how far they had mixed into the Egyptian race. Come on now. That's why God doesn't even want you to marry an unsaved person. Is this the right bunch I'm talking to? No, they have you worshiping something you ain't supposed to worship. Not you, because I know you strong. But if you're so strong, don't marry them. Now, if you're married to one, that then get them saved, because he promised you that he'll save you and your household. I didn't promise you that. God promised you that. Okay. And don't come down on them. You know, don't be leaving the Bible open on the chair and so forth. That don't do nothing to run folks out. All right. Now, so I want you to see this. Because he said in verse 3, thou shalt have no other gods before me. No other god. Whatever that god is, whether it's tangible or football, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Got it? All right. Now, let's look at another one. Let's look at verse 13. Thou shalt not what? Kill. Now, that's not talking about going in the military and serving in the military. It means don't murder. So thou shalt not murder. All right, let's look at another one. Verse 14, thou shalt not commit adultery. Verse 17, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife. All right, let's look at another one. Let's look up here at verse 15. Thou shalt not steal. Now let's just go to a couple of these, because what I'm telling you is that the Ten Commandments was not new. The Ten Commandments was trying to get them back in a place where the blessing would work. All right, let's look at one of them. Let's just go to Genesis chapter 39. Over in Genesis chapter 39, this is before the Ten Commandments now. Because what happened was Abraham passed his teaching on to Isaac. Remember, one of the reasons Abraham was chosen, because he would teach his children. People, children have to be taught right and wrong. But they're not taught right and wrong. Guarantee Satan's got enough agents out of here that can try to teach them wrong. But you have to teach them right from wrong. Look what it says here. This is Genesis chapter 39. And let's start reading. I'll start reading at verse, let's try verse 5 first. Okay, 39 and verse 5. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him oversee over his house and all that he had. This is Potiphar now taking Joseph, bought him as a slave. Now he put him over all the house, all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for whose sake? Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord, here it is now, was upon all that he had and all in his house and in the field. Now, why was Potiphar getting blessed? Because of Joseph. But why was the blessing working through Joseph? Look at this next verse. And he left all that he had under Joseph's hand, and he knew not all that he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. Supernatural favor was on him. Now, why was it on him? Because he wasn't stealing. Now, you, I want you to get this. You don't need to steal from that job. See, if you need something, God says if you need something or want something, you don't have to steal it. He said, come to me and I'll give in abundance of every good thing that you'll ever need. Let's keep going. Let's go down to verse 7. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. And she said, lie with me. And he refused and said unto the master's wife, behold, my master wot not what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he hath into my hands. There is none greater in the house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and what? Sin against God. So notice, one of the commandments is do not commit adultery. Why? Because it'll cut off the blessing. So you wonder, why was Joseph so blessed? Because of things like this. He wasn't stealing from the man he worked for. Let me say it again. He wasn't stealing from the man he worked for. Come on. He wasn't trying to get some a sexual misconduct to try to get him elevated in his job. Well, I'm preaching today, aren't I? Now, then they falsely accused him and threw him in jail. And they threw him in jail, and we're going to leave him there. Now, he wasn't, you know, he was back there. But God raised him up, and now he's over the jailer. He's over the, he became the warden of the jail. And even, look at Genesis chapter 40, and Genesis chapter 40, and this is verse 6. And Joseph came into them in the morning and looked upon them, and behold, they were sad. And he asked Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of the Lord's house, saying, wherefore look ye so sad today? Why are you so sad? Now, they're all down there in prison. And he asking somebody, why are they sad? So what had to be his disposition? Joy. I'm talking about why the blessing is on him, rising him to the top. Because when your best friend just talked about you, you better hear what I'm talking about. Now, nowhere, I told you this before, you didn't see him down there talking about, now I'm reading it now, Mrs. Potiphar, that heifer, she got me down there. That's not in there. See, he let no bitterness come in him about past relationships. And you got to get it out so that that blessing can work, so it can get you out of debt, so it can get you that new business, so forth and so forth. Now, you don't have a right to be angry or bitter. You don't have a right to it. You don't have that option. Look what it says. This is Matthew chapter 5. Man, I haven't gone anywhere. I got to get some going. Look what he said. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, what is he doing? He's teaching on the blessing, but he's teaching them how to reconnect with the blessing and how to release his power. Come on down here. Verse 10. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and talk about your mama and say all manner of things against you falsely. Rejoice! You ought to be in here right now rejoicing. There should be nothing in your past, nothing in your pathway, nothing in your relationship that will stop you from rejoicing. Because when you do, you connect with that blessing again. And that blessing knows what to do. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching good. So what am I saying to you? Ten Commandments was not new. It was just what God was trying to do to bring the children of Israel back into a place where the empowerment that was for their lives would work. It's the way Abraham lived. This is the way Isaac lived. This is the way Jacob lived. This is the way Joseph lived. And then Moses, because they went into bondage for all them years, and now, next thing you know, they're coming out of there, but they're coming out of there without a knowledge of the blessing and how to keep it, or what's right and what's wrong with God. I'm not talking about what's right and what's wrong with people, because you can be right with the laws of the land and be wrong with God. I said you can be right with the laws of the land and be wrong with God. Look at Exodus chapter 3, if you will. Over in Exodus chapter 3, isn't this good preaching? I'm going to get you to a place where I'm telling you all the struggle is going out of your life. You ain't going to struggle no more for nothing. Stuff going to come to you. You haven't experienced this yet. You wait till you start experiencing it, and that stuff start coming to you that you didn't even pray about. But the blessing was working 24/7, knowing what you're going to need when you needed it. And have that stuff show up at your door. Ed McMahon get raised from the dead and show up at your door and bring that big check. Come on now. I have in my notes here, the blessing makes you a champion in every challenge. Oh. Makes you a champion in every challenge. Whether you're talking about Gideon, who thought he was the stupidest one among the whole tribe, and God made him a leader, or Esther, here she was, an orphan, got raised up to be the queen and the most powerful woman in the land. How about Job? Job lost everything he had. And then the Bible said, Satan even told God, you have blessed the work of his hands. But then if you go back and look at Job's life all back in Genesis chapter 41, you will see, put it up there, Genesis chapter 41. And look what it said. This is when God recovered the things from Job. Just check out what happened here. Glory to God. Did he put it up there? Genesis chapter 41. I said Genesis 41. Job chapter 41, please. Okay, Job chapter 41, look what he said in verse 10 first. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Watch this now. And also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. And look at verse 12. And the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than the first. He got back over in the faith, got back over in the love. Come on now. And got back over into believing instead of unbelief. You stay in believing and the devil can't touch them kids. I said you stay. That's one. See, the blessing is generational. He is not going to bless you so you don't have nothing to pass. You got to pass something to them kids. He said you'll have enough for not only your children, but your children's children. I don't care if they're out of town. They're still blessed. They're going to still be protected. Say amen to that. And you got to keep that in your mouth. Death and life are where? In the power of the tongue. And I've set before you Deuteronomy 30 and verse 19, life and death, blessing and cursing, speak life so that you and your seed may live. I know they're acting up, but they ain't gonna act up long because that blessing is working on them, praise God. And it's gonna bring them to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Boy, I'm preaching this morning. No. He's not saying, he's a God of love. Say he's a God of love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. Beloved, love one another, for love is of God. And they that love one another love God, or whatever have you, God, and knows God. Praise God. And then it says, he that loveth not knoweth not God. For God is what?
Love.
He's love. So he's saying this, if you want a wife, just ask me, and I'll give you the desires of your heart. Matter of fact, you don't have to try to take your neighbor's wife, because just ask me, watch it. Ask me, watch this, and I'll give you the best woman around here. This God, now why? Because he's a God of love. Now, so what is he doing? He's teaching them people, these people, and he's teaching them in the wilderness and teaching them that have come out of slavery how to connect with God to the blessing and how to make it work for them, to teach them that he was their source and their supply, because they had many gods down there. But he had Moses to get water out of a rock. You remember that? And had him to feed all those people all those days and so forth and so on. My point to you is that he was teaching them to live by faith in the blessing, in God. Okay? Now, in this, God was telling Moses much more than giving them a piece of real estate. Let's look at Exodus chapter 3. All right? Wow. What time is it? Okay. Let's get out of here. All right. Look what he said in verse 7. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down now to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of the land unto a good land, and a large, and a land flowing with milk and honey, unto the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites, so forth and so on. Now, what he was declaring here is his intention to not only give them a piece of real estate, that's not just what he's talking about, but he wanted to restore to Israel the conditions of the Garden of Eden. That's what he's after in your life. He's not after just giving you a piece of property. He's after restoring the garden into your life. Now, as far as you fulfilling your mission here in this earth, this empowerment called the blessing is the only guarantee of the fulfilling of your mission on this planet. This empowerment called the blessing is the only guarantee of fulfilling your mission on this planet. It is generational. It is permanent. Glory to God. And it guarantees fulfillment. Isn't that wonderful? Now, effectively in getting this blessing to work for you, you speak it and you sow for it. The Bible says over in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, bring all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be what? Meat in my house, and prove me now, here what saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not what? Open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, there shall not be room enough to receive it. Now, again, he's not just talking about real estate, but he's talking about something much deeper. The conditions of the garden coming back into your life. Now, he's got to have two things to happen. One, he's got to get people out of bondage. And then secondly, he's got to get bondage out of them. In other words, he's got to get the people out of Egypt, but then get Egypt out of the people. Say amen to that. So here's Jesus, and he came to reintroduce the blessing or the kingdom of God in this earth. Now, this blessing again is this supernatural power. Glory to God. Proverbs 10:22. Let's do that. I'm looking at the time. I don't have much. Now, the enemy tries to get you not to desire much. Say amen.
Amen.
But I declare from today, he will no longer affect your desire.
Amen.
That you're going to desire what God has desired for you. So his influence, try to influence people, and, oh, I'm okay, que sera, sera, whatever will be with thee. No, that's religion. And religion has caused a lot of poverty, and people think because they're poor, they're holy. Folks, you can be poor in a 17-bedroom home. I mean, you can be holy in a 17-bedroom home. My point to you is that, and you can be poor too, poor in spirit, praise God. But here's the deal. God wants all the credit for what he's about to do for you. Man, that's good preaching right there. He wants all the credit for what he's about to do for you. Now, this, not only, glory to God. God not only guarantees a lifetime of prosperity with the blessing now, but he makes provision for generational prosperity. And he wants to be the one that makes it come to pass. So the blessing of the Lord, Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22, it maketh rich, and he addeth no what? No sorrow. You don't have to earn this. You don't have to scratch. You don't have to get two jobs and so forth. But God's going to make you rich. Say amen to that. Now look what it says in Psalm 127 verse 1. I'm just going to pop through these. Just put them up on the board real quick. Psalm 127 verse 1, he said this. He said, I looked, except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. Let's go all the way down to Ecclesiastes and verse 9 and verse 1, please. That's not verse 1. Woo, glory to God. Flow, amen, I'm trying to. Make it plain, amen. Now, how did I do that? Devil, you are a liar. You are a liar and the truth is not in you. Let's do verse 11, please. I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not won by the swift, nor battle to the strong. Now you follow what I'm saying. He is saying, I don't care how fast you can run, you can't do this. You see, you can't pass by Satan with your own strength. Satan can create all kinds of things to try to stop you from coming. But if you get in the blessing of the Lord takes over and it makes you rich. The struggles in your life go out and the blessing takes over to bring you into the promises of God. Lord, have mercy. How about Psalms 62 and verse 5? Lord Jesus, I don't know what happened to all my scriptures here. Well, I'll go back and get them for the next round. Praise God. All right, look what it says. Have you got it? He says, my soul waiteth only upon God, for my expectation, come on, is from him. You see, if you expect from God and God alone, you will not be disappointed. But if you put your trust in something else, your struggles tend to continue. But from now on, I declare that it's not going to be in your ability, not going to be in your strength, not going to be in your skill, not going to be in your swiftness, but you're going to take it and defer it to God and let the blessing of the Lord kick into your life, and your struggles shall be over. I'm talking about Job got blessed by the blessing. Come on. Peter got blessed by the blessing. And this blessing not only guarantees you blessings, but it also guarantees you a generation that can also inherit what you have accumulated. He said over in Deuteronomy chapter 8:18, glory to God. That's all I got time for. Give God praise. I got to get you out, man. I'm trying to. Now, are you blessed?
Yes.
You are blessed of the Lord, and God has blessed you. And I'm just telling you ways now that the blessing will be manifest in your life from now on. You are not going to struggle for anything. You can start expecting that blessing to start kicking in and making you a champion of every challenge. That no matter what comes in your life, even if you're directed to the worst place in the city, start decreeing a thing. Because you are the king, he is the king of kings, and kings function by decree. But he is still the Lord of lords, and lords function by ownership. And I'm saying to you now that when Jesus said he's inherited everything, so did you. And nothing is going to happen in this earth, in this city from now on, unless you say so, unless you give it permission to happen. And you can just start rejoicing right now, because that blessing is going to start manifesting in your life. You're going to open your mouth and speak life to it. And that blessing knows what to do. Angels are going to take over, and you're going to see a difference within 7 days. God praise. That's all we got. My Lord. All right. So now, if you need to be born again, here's what I want you to do. You got to get born again to get this. Whoever needs to be born again right now, don't hesitate. Don't be looking at nobody else to see if they approve of it. You know that you need Jesus in your life. Here's the only thing I want you to do. Let me.